Hey, all, welcome into Objectively Good Takes. I'm Dan, and I'm joined with Hippo per usual. And we are here to kick off the Sunday slate going into Monday. And we got plenty of game previews, but we'll start off right at the top with looking back on the Thursday night game that occurred yesterday, recording Friday. And Hippo, we talked about this pre-record, that each one of us watched half of the game, essentially, so we can combine our knowledge here. I got the second half lodged in the skull, and I want you to go through the first half for me.
I walked through the better half because it's the only half I needed to see before I got some good hard-earned sleep. We were wrong about the game. The Patriots offense is really bad. Not just bad, it's really bad. Bottom five offense, the offensive line's going to get somebody hurt. Jacoby, let's see how many games you last. Rodgers looked really good, though, especially the Pats defense didn't look terrible. They hurt themselves as the game went along with a few dumb penalties, I mean, on both sides of the ball. But I really liked how Rodgers looked coming into his third appearance on the year. He's a little off with Garrett Wilson, but he's on par with the rest of the receivers. And Mike Williams is involved a little bit more. Lazard in the red zone. And then the Braylon Allen and Breece Hall tandem, it's legit. It's going to be like Jones and Dillon in Green Bay. And both are just going to have value. Breece might not return top three running back value like he was drafted at, but Braylon was definitely a steal in all your drafts. And if he's still a free agent, go scoop him up because he's definitely going to be like a running back three the rest of the year. Pretty much the two teams going in opposite directions, and they're just two ships meeting in the night. Jets are going to probably win the division, and the Pats are probably going to finish in last place in the division. Dan?
I was really happy to see the continuation of the two RB sets for the Jets. Rodgers looked really comfortable. Mari Moses went down, which is unfortunate, so they had to put the rookie in at tackle. Played fine. I didn't see any plays that he gave up. Rodgers did look a little bit more fluid on his movement, so he was able to roll out a little bit easier. He had a really good bootleg off to the right-hand side, and one was nailed to Conklin, and he threw a similar throw later in the fourth to another of the wide receivers. I don't remember off the top of my head, but he looked good. The Jets as a whole looked like a more put together unit. I don't think their defense particularly looked anything amazing. I think it was more like the Patriots played to the level that everyone assumed they were going to start the year on. So they started hot, quote unquote, and were already like way back to earth. Jacoby didn't look particularly good. He had a couple of really good throws to Pop Douglas and Filey Gang involved in the third quarter, but it just wasn't. That O-line wasn't good. The rookie at the left tackle gave up way too many pressures. There was a particular drive where he had three holding calls on him in a row. And so that's just, he can't play ball like that. That's not something to do. He just didn't look like he was ready to enter into a league where he needed to actually defend the court. But the game kind of went, I thought the Patriots were going to place a little bit closer and involve more of a running attack, but I think the game got away from them a little too. And they were pretty flat-footed coming into the second half. Drake May did get some playing time in the fourth, though. And yeah, it wasn't good. That O-line can't protect him quite yet. And his reads are still a little bit slow. So he wasn't really entering into a good situation. He was just subbing in because the game was gone already. So you don't usually want a QB to be evaluated at that point. You want a game plan built for him. So I'm not going to take that as anything whatsoever. I'm just going to say, yeah, the Patriots are playing exactly what they showed over the offseason and the talent they have. So this is as we're going to expect going forward. I imagine that, yes, they will not be anywhere close to the top of the division.
He's a pretty good value because he's pretty much a free agent everywhere. I do think he's going to have a little bit of value as a streaming tight end, especially the way tight ends have been going so far this year. I don't want to see Drake May at the end of games. I don't care if it's a blowout. I don't want to see him in there. Just keep him on the bench. Run the ball with Brissett, kneel the ball. I don't care. Just get out of there. I don't want Drake May to get exposed to poop.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want goods.
All right, the only other thing is Garrett Wilson. I think he just got blanket coverage by Christian Gonzalez, so I'm not that worried. I think Christian Gonzalez is a really good cornerback, so that's probably where the majority of this disconnect lies between Rodgers and him. I imagine he's still a buy low target on fantasy teams, and then he'll bounce back when he's against a little bit better of a matchup.
He had a good touchdown. Great ball by Aaron Rodgers.
That was
their timing's just a little bit off on some of their out routes and stuff, but it'll get better as the year goes on. I'm not totally worried. I wouldn't have drafted him as high as he went. I think he's a little overvalued there, but the season's on, so that value doesn't really matter anymore.
There was actually one play. This reflects it really nicely. Rodgers saw Garrett Wilson one-on-one on the backside. He did a motion out to the right-hand side, and he saw it was just one-on-one man coverage, and he threw the back shoulder. He, like, shotgun immediately got the ball through the back shoulder, and Garrett Wilson did not turn around in time. So I think there, that connection that he had with Randall Cobb and Jerry Nelson back in the day, where you just knew they saw it all together and they were mind melding, they're not there yet. They need more time. So probably like mid-season, if not a little bit later in the season, they'll get that. All right, move right along. We're going right into the Sunday slate here. We got a lot of games. We even have two Monday night games, which is nuts. And also there are, what I say, six or seven games. They're all decided between 3 points on the estimate here. Vegas is giving us a spread of 3 points or less. So there's plenty of hype games potentially going into this. Not the hugest amount of game totals per se, but hype games. So we'll start right at the top here. We got Broncos going to Tampa Bay and the Bucks. This over-under set at 41, and the spread currently is 6.5. And the Bucks are getting 6.5 here. What's your initial thoughts on this one?
This could be a trap game for the Bucks, but I don't think the Broncos are good enough. We're talking about Javonte. Viavea is probably out. They got a few injuries up front and the back ends. If Javonte is going to have a good game, it's going to have to be this one. I just think that Tampa Bay is going to be gritty, like their quarterback, how they're adopting his personality. I don't think there's enough secondary pieces in Denver for them to pull off the upset. I think the Buccaneers win the game. 6.5 might be a little bit too much, but I think the Bucs win the game here. Might be a little bit closer than the spread.
Yeah, I think I would just play the money line on this one. I don't see even if Sertan takes out Evans and you have to play with Godwin and McGilly, then I still think Baker has an okay day. It's probably not his best day, but it's probably a fine day, especially at home. I don't imagine this being a game that the Denver Broncos can take any sort of win out of.
Yeah, they're going to have to run the ball a lot.
Way too much.
This will be the easiest opponent he's had to face so far, so we'll see.
Fair enough. All right, we'll move right along. We'll go right to Giants going to the Cleveland Browns. This is set at a stark 38 over under, and the Browns are getting 6.5 on this. I hate everything about this.
Why?
Because I think it's a trap on both sides, just how they set the lines. I have continuously been against Giants players because I don't think Daniel Jones is good. He has games where he'll go, if you look at the patterns of how he does, he'll have a bad game, good game, bad game, good game, bad game, good game. And that's in regards to like fantasy. So he had a good game last week, so I'm expecting an absolute crap show this week. That's my first thoughts on this one.
Playing the Cleveland defense, Dan.
Yeah, they are still an elite unit, so I don't expect much.
This is Daniel Jones going up against one of the better defenses in the league. We already saw him face a good defense week one, and that was at home against Minnesota. Cleveland just went down to Jacksonville and handled them pretty easily. I don't think the Giants at home are going to be any different from that. I think the Browns win pretty comfortably here. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm taking the Brownies here. I think, don't overthink it. We're taking the Brownies and that great defense, and the offense will do what it has to. And the Giants also have some injuries too. I think Amari Cooper, this is finally his first good game.
Yeah, no, that would be nice to see. Maybe those little hints of what we saw, the fundamentals that Deshaun was bringing back into his game, actually gets ignited and we get a little bit more of old Deshaun Watson, which is fine. Great.
We'll see. He'll probably have a short field. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, fair enough on that. All right, moving in. Next one here in the 1 o'clock slate is Eagles going to the Saints, probably the first out of these three games I'm actually watching. This over-under is set at 49.5, which is just an annoying number to look at. And then we got the Saints at home getting 3 points. You think they're going to hit that number?
Do I think they're going to hit 40 points? No. This is one of the defenses they can struggle against, but Philadelphia's defensive line isn't good enough to cause them enough fits, because the Eagles like to play man-to-man secondary, which is something that you're going to have to do if you want to beat the Saints. The Saints are going to probably win this game pretty easily. No A.J. Brown, that's a big factor. I don't think they're going to be able to keep up. The Saints' offensive line has been rolling. Kamara's been on a roll. I just think that Saints have too much here at home where Philly's reeling. This could be ugly. I think the Saints went pretty big here, Dan.
Yeah,
I don't know if they get 40 points, but I think they're gonna hit 30 something points. I don't know.
Well, that would be Nick Sirianni hot seat. Like, I agree, AJ Brown being out really makes it so that what our target leaders, Devontae Smith and Covey again. Are we doing this? Mm-hmm. I don't think Devontae Smith, and we know Devontae Smith is not a number one alpha receiver. He's an amazing dude. So is this like we're doing Saquon releases and then hoping that works? Because I don't know if they're particularly, the Saints, D-line has been good at stopping the running game, but also they've been getting out in front pretty heavily and then making teams abandon the run pretty quickly as well. They haven't punted. They've scored on every possession or something like that. That's insane. That's remarkable.
They're a great team, Dan.
I'm going to eat my words so hard. I have reverse cursed the Saints into being a good team. I'm just going to take credit for it.
No. They'll just win this week. I don't know about the rest of the year now. It's still early. The Eagles are in a bad spot here. I don't think they'll win. I'm going with the Saints. I'm going with three favorites in a row. That's always great.
We're both going Saints. All right. Nothing much to say else than that. Let's move. We're doing Chargers-Steelers here. The Chargers are going to Pittsburgh. I can't do the accent well, but the over-under is set at the hilariously low total of 35 here with the Steelers getting -3. This is one of the games where if I see Jason Sticks being the starting quarterback, my hopes are zero, but also Jim Harbaugh just wants to be J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards a billion carries. So can they effectively just run the ball and win like Green Bay did against the Colts last week? That's a question.
Dan, I'd have to tell you something, and you better tell me if you like this. Easton Stick isn't the backup quarterback because they made a trade, remember?
Oh my God, no, I don't remember. Who's the backup? Who's taking over for Herbert for this game?
Oh, ho. My boy, Taylor Heinicke.
Oh, that makes this game a little bit more interesting.
Somebody's intrigued.
Yeah, okay. I'm more into it now.
Chargers, money line.
Wild. Chargers, money line. Okay, so give me your rationale on why.
Best tackles in the league, TJ Watt's not going to be able to disrupt. We're going to run the football. We're going to do crazy stuff. So on the opposite side, we're going to play defense. Justin Fields isn't going to beat us. Steelers, when they're a favorite at home, are worse when they're an underdog at home. Tomlin hates being a favorite. Chargers have been on the East Coast, and they've been playing a game called Detective. And they're just having team camaraderie. Then they're going to drive up to Pittsburgh, kick some ass. This is Chargers. All day.
They're going to take those RVs up to Pittsburgh.
That's right.
Oh, man. I don't hate it at all. I just think
it's pretty much they're playing Among Us. There's somebody who's a spy, and you have to find out who the spy is. That's what they're playing.
Oh, God. Yeah. All right. I can see the argument for it now. It would be remiss to take the money line because I feel like the Steelers always play tight games. So it's really hard for me to take anything on this. But
so you think the Steelers are going to win then?
I think I probably just take the under.
Oh, it's too low, Dan. That's a football play away from getting ruined.
I think it's like 17 to 10. I don't expect this game to go anywhere.
Chargers 3-0. Book it.
All right.
Steelers are 3-0. Good.
No, they're not. No, I agree with you there. Also, I love that Russell Wilson suited up on the sidelines, ready to go, but he's been hurt, quote unquote, for 3 weeks, and we're just going with Justin. This is just another weird thing that's happened.
He's the emergency quarterback, Dan.
They just brought him in so that he would try and coach up Fields so Coach Fields could actually be the QB. That's my hot take.
He hurt his calf, Dan. He hurt his calf. They weren't planning for this. They're like, your calf really hurts.
Because Arthur Smith definitely didn't want a mobile quarterback when he was on the Falcons that entire time so they could actually incorporate what the offense should be. He didn't want that at all. Mm-hmm. And taking like appropriate deep shots to someone who was calm. All right, we're going to a matchup that I, looking back, like at the start of the year, I wouldn't have thought this would be a good game, but I think it's going to be a good game. And Vegas agrees and says it's going to be a pick 'em if anything. This is Texans going to the Vikings. We're going to Minnesota, and this is set at 46 over under with the Texans, the visiting team, getting 1.5. There's some questions here. I don't know the health of Aaron Jones. It looks like Ty Chandler may be the starting running back for this one. He played. He looked actually fairly decent last week. He may not play this week. So I think this game, I'm leaning probably to home underdogs for like probably the third straight week that they've been underdogs. And
you're full practice.
Oh, he's full today? He was questionable as of yesterday. Good fact checking. I eat my words. I still think it's probably the Vikings here. I think that the Texans are very good, but they're going to be without Joe Mixon. I don't think Cam Akers is the answer there. And if they can't do the running attack, they're going to supplement it through the air. And if that happens, then we're seeing another Flores defense that is going to be very hard to read. I don't care who's the quarterback. We've now been shown back-to-back weeks that the scheme is very difficult to understand. And if they can't rely on using a rushing attack, then I don't think the Texans will be as lofty as they have previous weeks. So I'm going to go with the Vikings. What say you? You muted yourself.
Oh, shit. I've been saying good things over here. You don't like the Cam Akers narrative? He's coming back home, Dan.
No, I'm not buying into that.
Vikings money line.
Yeah. Okay. So we're in the same boat. We agree on this one.
Absolutely.
Give me your rationale, though.
You hit on some of it. No mix in there. Probably going to be one-dimensional. Hugh Scruggs is a little banged up, too. He's their center. CJ Stroud's been pretty good to start the year. He has no picks on the season, but he's number one in plays that should be turnovers that weren't turnovers. I think that turns around this game on the road. He has some turnovers here. He had trouble scoring on the Chicago defense at home. I think that, they only put up 19 points. They didn't even cover. They haven't covered in 2 weeks here on a road. They weren't terrible on the road against the Colts, but something was lacking there. The defense wasn't as good. They had some big plays let up. I think the Vikings at home, KOC, and that defense firing, I think the Vikings just pull out a win here. I like the Vikings money line. Yeah, that's how I feel, Dan.
We're in agreement. I think we came to the same conclusion. So
I feel much better taking two dogs in a row after going all those favorites. So I'm going to keep
that.
Yeah,
good. We got to bring the underdogs back in because we just took way too many favorites last week and that did not go well for us. So I'm good with the underdogs. Speaking of good with the underdogs, I don't understand this line whatsoever. Here we go. We are Green Bay and Matt LaFleur going to the Tennessee Titans. And this over-under is set at 38, which again is just such a low slate game. And the Titans are getting -3, the home favorites. Now, the real caveat with this line, and I bet it's going to shift real quick because Jordan Love has gotten the more than likely going to play this game. And if Jordan Love's plays versus Jordan Love doesn't play, I bet this line moves like at least 2 points and we get a pick-up.
Okay.
You're on the Titans, aren't you?
Titans won big.
Yeah, okay. Give me a rationale on that.
Titans are the best defense these Green Bay Packers have played yet. Jordan Love better not come back, not against this defensive line, against these corners, not against this blitzing team. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Fool me three times, I'm going to lose my job. There's no way Brian Callahan lets Will Levis throw the football in this game for him to lose him yet another football game. Last year, the Green Bay Packers had that. We're going to put in our backup quarterback, get that win. I don't think it's as good. Malik Willis is very bad. He might have some PTSD as he walks into the stadium in Tennessee. He might not even play. They might have to go under the third string quarterback. I just don't think Green Bay can run the football. And if Jordan Love does, I don't think Jordan Love's going to play. I think he's questionable. I don't want him to play. I wouldn't want him to play on the road against a defense that's looking really good. I don't think Josh Jacobs is going to have a good game. I think they're going to stop the run. And if you stop the run against Malik Willis, you're actually going to have to make him pass. I think the Titans are finally going to get the monkey off their back. They're going to win a game here.
So you're not buying into the Malik Willis revenge game narrative that isn't part of this? No?
Tennessee will have a lot of revenge, Dan. They made him waste a second or third round pick on him. They're going to be getting so much revenge, Dan.
You're right. I didn't see it from the other side. Team has revenge on the quarterback. Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
About all about
we had that. We had to go and spend a second round pick on Will Levis because you failed so much.
And look what Will Levis has done. Rode the most inexcusable picks back-to-back games I've ever seen any quarterback do.
All right. You're going to have to settle with Quinn Ewers in the middle of the first round because this ineptitude.
Either how many rushing attempts does Pollard plus Spears get? Or how many completions does Will Levis get? Those two things. Is it double-digit completions for Will Levis in this game?
Oh, boy. Sure. I'm feeling nice.
Oh, man, that's crazy. All right, so 11.
12.
12 completions. 12 completions for 150 yards. Book it.
Yes.
This is
great. But you're on Green Bay?
I'm on Green Bay. I think Matt LaFleur is, maybe Brian Callahan surprises me and he coaches that team up and goes into it. But this is like one of these lines that I look at initially. I'm like, why? I just saw the Green Bay Packers trounce a Colts team that was supposedly very good. And then why wouldn't they be favorites going against a Titans team that's lost two in a row and has an ineptable quarterback? So I don't quite understand it. I think the Packers cover.
The pride spot, you're at home, and Green Bay played Philly's defense in Brazil. Look at that defense, how it looks now. Last week, they played Indy. No DeForest Buckner, one of their corners is out. Their defense doesn't look too good either. I think Tennessee at home, 0-2, two games they should have won. This is a pride spot, pride game, and everything I listed before. This is Tennessee, Dan.
Okay. I can't wait to see it. All right, moving on. Bears going to the Indianapolis Colts. And this is a straight pick 'em. We got an over-under set at 43.5, and it is -1 to the Colts. How far Anthony Richardson has fallen? How far from being able to be the superstar to -1 going against the Bears? Like, we've definitely come down a level or two here. You're not the biggest fan on AR, but I expect a little bit more of him. But maybe the acknowledgement is that the Bears defense is actually legit, and this is a conversation that should have. Like, it's an actual unit that's being played really well. Jalen Johnson is doing very well. They have sweat up front, and all of them are like being put together. They did do like work against the Texans last. The fact that it was held to under 20 points is pretty substantial. They're home favorites. The Colts are. Yes, you raise your hand. You in the front.
The one thing I had right last week, Dan, the Sunday night, the +6.5. I don't know how they're going to cover, but somehow they're going to cover. Oh, it's the only thing I got right because they covered. Go on.
They did cover.
That's right. That's a sharp play if you've ever seen it.
That's pretty crazy that you did call that. You were like, no, I have no idea, but it's going to happen.
Absolutely. These eyes have seen things. You don't want to know what they've seen. They've seen it.
So are you taking Bears to cover plus one? Is that your thought process? Are you just doing money line? What is your thought here?
I'm not going to bet this game just straight up on the line, but I'm using the Bears in my teaser. I'll tell you that.
Okay. All right. Save it then. Save it. We'll get back to it because I want to hear your full teaser.
Yeah, I do the Bears though.
Yeah, I think Caleb Williams. This is Caleb Williams coming out game, to be quite honest. That Colts secondary doesn't scare me in the least. We got Romo Odunze back. I don't think Keenan Allen is there, but we at least have those two pieces.
Pittman's out too, I think.
Pittman's questionable.
He didn't practice today though.
All right, so it's an Alec Pierce game, is what you're telling me.
Adonai. No, Josh Downs is back.
Oh, is he officially back? I didn't know if he was coming off. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that's a good question mark on that one. Josh Downs game then.
Colts defense isn't good enough.
No, it's not good enough. It has really not been playing up to the talent level at all, which is disappointing to say the least. All right. So that was our complete 1 o'clock slate. Do you want to do your teasers now or you want to do them after the 4 o'clock slate?
Let's do it a little bit. Let's do it at the end. We'll go around town.
All right. So let's move into the 4 o'clock slate. We have a total of 5 games in the 4 o'clock slate, which is just going to be awesome. This is what should be done every week. Good job. Nice one, NFL. You did good on this one. Roger Goodell, you did great. All right. So we start off with, hilariously enough, probably my third most interesting game on this slate because I have a lot of questions and I want answers. We're going Panthers going to the Las Vegas Raiders. It is set at 40 over under and the Raiders getting -6 at home by quite a good margin. You are not enthused about the Red Rocket coming out and doing whatever he could possibly do when he was playing on the Saints, a year ago?
No, I can't wait for this to have a full spread offense and completely change everything about their team and then try and blame everything on Bryce Young even more. No, the Raiders are going to kill them. Max Crosby's coming to town. The Panthers have to travel cross country. I don't know about the spread. I'm not touching the spread. I just think the Raiders are going to win here. The Raiders are too talented on offense. There's no playmakers on the Panthers, that's going to scare me even when you put Dalton in. I'm just going Raiders here. I don't want to look into more Carolina stuff. They're just dead to me.
Good. We're in agreement. We're going Raiders.
The Raiders.
That's
right.
That's my Dan's, yeah, okay, lock of the week.
With the spread?
I don't know about the spread. I'm just going to take money line and, again, not think about this game. I was partially kidding about this being interesting. I just like the Raiders this year. Okay, so the game that we're talking about here is the Miami Dolphins going all the way to the West Coast to go face against the Seahawks at home. This is set to a 42, which is surprising. 42 over-under, and the Seahawks are getting 4.5. Again, another line that pisses me off, but what have you. Here we are. We're at the Seahawks. We're missing our starting right tackle. We have missing our starting running back, but all the other pieces are there. I think that defense is all put together, and we're going against not a rookie, but second-year QB who is getting the spot start because of our original quarterback going down with injury. So if this was Tua going to the Seahawks, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But I think it's just Seahawks all the way here. I don't see Skylar Thompson.
Dolphins money line.
Knew it. I knew it.
They just got their asses kicked on Thursday Night Football. They had the little mini bye. They've had 10 days to get ready for this game. Seahawks don't have the running back. They can only throw the ball. Miami has only a secondary here. You're going to have to run the ball. Charbonnet is not good enough. Jalen Ramsey and company are going to come. They're going to take away the pass. Geno Smith is going to look like a pumpkin. And Miami's going to run the football every which way. I really like Jalen Wright to come out in this game with Achan. And then Tyreek's going to do some Tyreek stuff in Seattle. Miami, this is a pride spot. Miami's winning this game.
All right.
Put it in.
We officially differ on two games because I'm taking Seahawks. I don't see a way that they lose this game. I don't see a way. Their secondary
is good. Famous last words, Dan. No way a team can lose a football game.
Anyone can lose a game on any given Sunday. You know, right? Every underdog won.
Yeah.
So there's definitely like, what I don't, I from when we last saw Skylar Thompson in full game action, was really good. They looked at other options. Maybe he's going to be more confident. I'm given the onus that people can improve at what they do, so maybe he'll get better as time goes on. Cool. Great. I don't think I'm going to put my money on the team at home in an environment that they know to do it better than the team coming on the road across a country. Because it's the same argument that you just put for like Chargers Steelers, where it's, yeah, they get a negative because they go across country. Texans, Vikings, that's not really.
Oh, Carolina, the Raiders. That's what it said.
Yeah, Carolina, the Raiders. All right, we can differ on this one. I'm fine with going against the...
Dan, I just have one question. Who do the Seahawks play next week?
Oh, God. Who do they play next week? I don't know.
They're going to Detroit. They're losing this game, Dan. They're losing it.
Damn it. You're right. They're going to lose this game. I don't know how, but they're going to lose this game. Because that's a real thing where it's a look-ahead game. They're already focusing on the next one. They're not focusing on this one now.
The only thing Skylar Thompson's coming to town, and then Tyreek and A-chan are coming to town.
The Seahawks are going to be top in the division with this one. And so I'm pulled.
What are they 2-0 right now or 1-1?
No, they're 2-0. They just beat the Pats. They're rolling.
Who did they beat the first week?
Oh, someone.
Oh, the Broncos. They've played two. Damn, they're losing the game. All right, next game.
Okay, we're going
to barely beat the Pats and the Broncos too. Then they only beat the Broncos by 6, and they needed an overtime win against the Pats.
You may be right.
20 points against New England. That's 40 points against McDaniel's running game.
Yeah, that's a lot. That could be a lot. All right. We're going to a divisional matchup where there is no one playing whatsoever. So we have an over-under at this game set 43, and the away team is getting 6.5, and we're talking about the 49ers going to the Rams. And quite literally, everyone on every side is injured. So for the 49ers, visiting team here, they have no CMC. Kittle's doubtful. Debo's out. Those are three huge offensive weapons that are gone. And for the Rams, we have no Cup, no Puka. Majority of the passing attack already out the window. What is this game? Where do you even begin on thinking about what this game is going to be?
Is Nick Bosa playing?
I believe so, yes.
Trent Williams?
Yeah, it sounds like those two are definitely playing.
When in doubt, look at the lines. The 49ers are going to dominate both sides of these lines. They're going to win this game. Shanahan, I think, owns McVay, right? Is that a thing?
Yes, that is.
Is this the one McVay owns? I don't...
It's LaFleur beats Shanahan. Shanahan beats McVay. That's our rock, paper, scissors of the NFL.
49ers all day. They just lost. They're coming back. The Rams just don't have nobody on the offensive or defensive line. I think they're just going to run the hell out of the ball. I saw that Jordan Mason's over-under was 92.5 yards just rushing. This alone, take the over. Jordan Mason is going to hit 100 yards in this game. The 49ers are going to win the football game.
It's funny. If that was Christian McCaffrey, it would be like over-under 150 yards. If they were just switched in this one football game, there would be no way that would be like that. Like, oh, yeah. He's going to go for 150 combined. No problem. The touchdown, maybe two.
He's a lock for a touchdown. He has negative money on his touchdowns.
He had like last season, I think he had 12 games in a row with a team. Like it was.
Might have been more than that. It was crazy.
I loved seeing that bet where it's if you put $100 that he was going to score a touchdown every week, he would be plus money by like a substantial margin by the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to an interesting one, not an injury riddled one. We're going to the desert. We got the Lions going to the Cardinals. This one is set at a very respectable 51.5 over under. And the visiting team, the Lions, are getting -3, which I feel like is a trap. What say you?
Oh, this is one of the games I didn't get to yet. I didn't get to the last 4 o'clock, which this game was underneath Baltimore and Dallas. I didn't get to this one, KC, or the Bills game, because I just know it's going to happen in Cincinnati. I think this is going to be a really good game. I want to say Detroit wins the football game just because they'll be able to run the ball. James Conner's not going to be able to get really anything going, but I don't know the status of Alex Anzalone, because as I was saying in the preseason, he's their Matt Milano, and if he gets hurt, their defense goes to poo. He got hurt last game. He got concussed. Maybe that led to them losing that game. I don't know if he's playing. I think the Cardinals are going to win this game at home, though. Oh, but I want to go with the line. I don't know. I don't know, Dan. I used them in my teaser. I used Cardinals +9. I think this should be a good game, but I don't know who wins. My gut tells me Detroit wins this game just because they're coming off a loss in Arizona. Just curb stomped the Rams. Psychology is on the Lions side, and they can run the football. I'm going Lions.
Okay. I think I'm just going to take the Cardinals. I think they're a better team. That's crazy to think about. Like, they cooked last week, and they've been impressive. And your call of them being much better than what people expect is, like, hitting on all notches. Same way where I was like, the Raiders are going to, they're going to win some football games. You're like, the Cardinals are going to win some football games. All right, cool. We're cooking here. We're like, yeah, underdog. The ones that people are like glossing over. I think this is a game that Kyler doesn't dominate. Like, it's not going to be an amazing performance, but I imagine that he'll be able to fulfill his role in being this all-star quarterback, and he'll evade some pressures and he'll make things happen. I'm more interested in that.
If Kyler wins this game, he puts one more notch in his belt for MVP, his early MVP candidacy.
Yep.
He might surpass Alvin Kamara in my book. He's my leader so far.
Yeah, AK deserves it as of right now. Absolutely. 4 TD game. Absolutely. Okay, let's move. We're going to the final one of the 4 o'clock slate here. We got Ravens going to the Cowboys. This is set at 47.5 over under, and it is a straight pick 'em, -1.
They're going to yell at you.
Yeah. Okay. Let them yell at me. Let the nebulous day yell at me. So this is set at that -1/+1. This is as close as you possibly can get it.
Cowboys.
Yeah. I agree.
Kill them.
I think coming out off
Ravens that can only stop the run. They can't stop the pass. Cowboys, thankfully, don't have a running game. On the other side, they have no offensive line. Micah Parsons is angry. He's going to be coming after Lamar, and I don't really – the Cowboys can defend the pass, and they can't really stop the run, but guess what? I don't really think Derrick Henry has too much left. I just think the Cowboys won. They got their butts kicked too much last week at home. They're not going to let two people come in there in a row and dominate them. The Ravens are in that danger zone, 0-3 when they lose this game. People are going to get angry.
So you don't think 0-3 on the line, pride game, they just lost to a worst opponent in the Raiders. You don't think this is something where they're going to have to step up and Lamar's going to have to play hero ball? You don't think that's the narrative on this?
Not the Cowboys. They didn't just lose by 30 at home, and their defense looked like they weren't given two fits. Mike Zimmer and them, they're going to be angry in your face of Micah Parsons with no offensive line. They just pulled a bad draw here facing Chris Jones, Max Crosby, and Micah Parsons 3 games in a row against something that they did not address in the offseason. So that would be called poor GMing, as they say, but who am I to judge that? I'm going with the Cowboys here.
Yeah, I am also going with the Cowboys. I'm just asking the contrarian questions here. I think that Ravens line, as I highlighted in the last show, is just not up the scruff against a #1 D end. And Max Crosby did damage last week. Micah Parsons is right on par to do the exact same thing. And I think I buy into the if I was a team that got absolutely trounced by an away team, you better believe I am thinking about that all week. getting into this game, getting to the mindset of I want to beat the absolutely crap out of the opposing team.
This line's changed too much. This was at 5. Why is it at 3 now?
This is the KC line?
Yeah.
They were minus 5?
Yeah, KC was favored by 5. Who's hurt?
Isaiah Pacheco is probably season-ending.
No, he's been hurt, though. They've known about that.
There's no one else changed. All right, so the game that we're talking about here is KC, the night game, the Sunday night game, which is going to be a good one. KC going to Atlanta in the Dome, and we got 46.5 over-under with minus 3 on the away team's Chiefs. So you say that went down already? So the Falcons have gotten bet up from that 5?
Yeah, makes me not feel good about my bet here.
No, that's scary because I don't think that's sharp money. Someone's betting against Patrick Mahomes. I feel like that is in itself not a good idea. But also, they think that Kirk Cousins and his showing last week pulling out a really close victory against the Eagles, that they think that is substantial enough to go against Chris Jones.
Who's this they speak of, Jan?
I am they. Okay. All right. Tell me. Where are we going here? You are
Falcons.
You're going Falcons.
Money line. Falcons winning this game, Dan.
Okay. Give it to me. Tell me why.
So the Chiefs just lost their running back, and the Falcons secondary is scary good. All they can do is pretty much defend the pass here. I don't think KC can run the football here. I think they're going to have to try and pass it. That goes into the Falcons, what they want to do. I think Bijan is the best player on the field as the night progresses. That's right, Patrick Mahomes. You haven't been too impressive to me. I thought KC should have lost last week to Cincinnati. And if Isaiah likely wants to have smaller feet, they could potentially be a loss there against an 0-3 team. I think the Falcons really found themselves on that last drive with Kirk Cousins. Found something going with Drake London there for the game. I guess game-winning touchdown. Well, Darnell Mooney came alive. Pitts probably should be the one that has a good game here, but we'll see what happens. I just think Falcons at home, Chiefs one-dimensional on offense, and that one dimension plays into the Falcons' strength. I like the Falcons' money line, and it looks like a lot of people do too, which is the only thing that's scaring me.
I get that. I just can't see a world where Chris Jones eats like a
Falcons
maniac.
Have a good all line.
If they scheme properly, and they have 2 weeks of tape at least, so this is going to third game, so they may have good idea on how to stop the defense, like the KC defense. If they do, then theoretically, Chiefs honestly should be 0-2. It's ridiculous that they're not 0-2. Refs always being on Patrick Mahomes' side, but that's a whole nother story. All right, I see this game. All right, let's go. Moving right along. Monday night.
Apple.
Oh, yeah? Oh, okay. So this is Jags going to Buffalo. And this over and under is set currently at 45.5. And the Bills are getting minus 5. They are the home favorites. And you, and I know it already, are taking the Jags, I think, for a third week in a row. Is that correct?
Who'd they play week one? Yeah, third week in a row. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I'll die with these Jaguars. I think this is the third week in a row I'm going against the Bills as well. I don't think they're a good football team. I'm not going down with that, Jeff. They stink. Jaguars are great. They're not the apple pie I'm sniffing, though. I'm putting my life savings on the next game.
Yeah, so we'll get to that point. But this is actually hilarious because I've taken the Bills each time, but I have been the one on the right side. And then you've taken the Jags each time, and they have just absolutely looked atrocious.
Jaguars pride game. They're going on the road. They're going up to Buffalo. They're getting their revenge. They're going to slay them.
Yeah, no, I'm going with the Bills. We're going to be on the other side of this. Both of us are going to be on opposite sides. I think it's Josh Allen doing hero ball yet again, and I don't think T-Law and the Jags have been doing anything impressive to me. I look at both these teams, and I say which one has the more defining component, and that's Josh Allen. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the game with the, your life savings on the line that you're so intrigued. So this is the last game of our week three slate here. It is the Washington Commanders going to the Bengals. It is set at a 47 over under, and the Bengals, the home team, is actually getting 7.5 points. And I already know the bet you're going to lay. So let's get, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Commanders money line.
I knew it.
No, it's the Bengals. Minus 20, minus 14. Those are going to kill them. They lost their first game at home to the Patriots, a team just as bad as these Commanders. They lost last week in the nail, a heartbreaker to the Chiefs. They're coming out in this third game, and it's just everything that they can do, the Commanders cannot do. They can't defend the pass. Joe Burrow's going to come and torch them. Jamar Chase, here's a touchdown for you. T. Higgins, you have one leg. Here's a touchdown for you. Gesicki, here's a touchdown for you. And then Zach Moss is going to bring them on home with a 100-yard game. And the Bengals are going to steamroll them on offense. And then defensively, the Commanders don't really. And what's his name? Lou? I always call him Lou A. I don't know how to say the last name of offensive coordinator. He's going to put you in a blender, Jaden. You'll get your rushing yards, though, so you'll be fine for fantasy, which is what I care about. But Bengals are going to win this game by double digits. They need this game. The Commanders just got their pity win against the Giants because they didn't have a kicker on the roster because they're the Giants. Bengals by 10. Minus 7.5, 105. Bengals minus 10.
Alt line. I think so. I'm going to paint you a picture. Washington Commanders get the ball first. They decide that they understand what they saw on tape from the previous 2 weeks of Bengals and that the rushing attack is going to be the basis of their win. They do read options with Brian Robinson and Jane Daniels. They run the ball, that's all they do. And they don't even allow Jane Daniels to throw the ball away to someone. They play the same, no interceptions. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not going to knock it on him. I'm just saying that they saw what the blueprint was to beat this team previously, and they're just going to replicate that, and they're going to have 40 attempts for rushing and make it eat up the clock because they know that their secondary is trash in comparison to what the wide receivers they're playing against are. They don't want to give Burrow any sort of ability to have the ball in his hands for a long period of time. So I imagine that this is actually +3 Commanders. I think they cover.
The line's 7.5, Dan.
I think Commanders cover. That's my thought process here. I think it's going to be another tight game, and it will be decided very late in the fourth. I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
This is blowout city. Commanders have nothing to go for.
I like that we have different takes on things. I appreciate that more.
No, that is good. Malik Nabers just torched the Commanders last week. Jamar Chase is Malik Nabers with a Mario mushroom. Joe Burrow is a couple mushrooms from Daniel Jones. A whole bag of mushrooms. Yeah, I just don't see the Commanders' defense just isn't good enough to stop the Bengals in any facet, especially since they're an angry Bengals team that hasn't won a game. Can they make it scrappy? I don't hate the let's just run the ball narrative, but I don't know, Dan.
I think they're potentially smart enough to see their weaknesses, and maybe that's giving them too much credit. But the fact is that they saw how the Bengals lost 2 weeks in a row. And I think they'll be able to take it. Do I think the Commanders are a superior team to the Bengals? No, I don't. I don't think there is. But I think that this is a closer game than expected. So maybe the Bengals will win by one, but I think the Commanders will cover.
So do you think the Bills are going to blow out the Jaguars?
Yeah, I think the Bills are going to trust the Jags.
Jaguars are going to keep it close. Commanders will not. Commanders are bad. I've seen too much of the Commanders. They're bad.
I think that's 3 games in a row that we're on other sides, which is fine by me.
I guess 4 if you count Cardinals.
Oh, true. 4 if you count the cards. But all the other ones.
Seahawks, Miami.
All right, we're 5. We got 5 games.
Green Bay, That All might right. be it. That's probably it, I think.
So do we do a bet between us who gets more right out of those six games?
Sure, what have our bets been so far?
That's just for posterity.
I'm not playing any money on it, just for fun.
No, haven't we put other things on the line so far this year?
I would have to look back at it.
I know it was Jahmyr Gibbs versus Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that Jahmyr Gibbs versus JT. I forgot.
You're supposed to write this down, Dan.
They're in one of the notes to one of the podcasts. And yeah, no, we did our future bets too. And I said, Raider, I don't know if we were putting that against each other. Doesn't matter if our takes are better than one. These are point flips regardless. All of this is flips. All right. We'll think about that and we'll come back when we get to our review. Maybe we'll have those all ready for everyone to hear.
The teaser.
This is Hippo's Parlay of the Week.
Would you like to parlay?
No, this is a 1 o'clock teaser, Dan. This isn't a parlay.
All right, fine. What's your 1 o'clock teaser?
Why are the lines already changing? Okay, the lines already changed. This line was already 6.5. We're going to start off. We're going to Tampa Bay. We're going to start with the Bucks. Bucks are winning by 0.5. We're bringing that one down. That's our first winner of the day.
Bucks minus 0.5.
Oh,
we're going to build this out as we go.
Absolutely. Instead, Dan, I'm taking the under 52.5, but that line might already be down. Might just be, okay, we might have to do 52 now. Under 52 points, Dan, this is where we're going.
Okay.
All right, third one of the day. We're going to Pittsburgh, but we're going with the Chargers. We're going Chargers +9 here. Chargers +9. Harbaugh can't lose by double digits. He can't. There's too much pride in him. All right. Now we're going to New Orleans. And this one is what could be scary, Dan.
Oh, God.
We're not going with the Eagles. We're not going with the Saints. We're going with a total here.
Ooh, okay.
We're going under 55.5 against the number one offense, Dan.
Really?
Under 55.5, Dan. We're daring.
That's pretty crazy. Under 55.5. Done.
All right. You say crazy. Let's see how crazy we can get because now we're going to Tennessee.
Okay.
Green Bay. If you thought the under there was crazy, how about I give you an over? Over 31.5. The line's up to 38 now. We're going to have to go over 32 now. Give me over 32, okay. Dan.
Yeah, good deal.
And I hope Jordan Love doesn't play because that was a straight Malik Willis, Will Levis short field. Somebody's getting points very easily. That's what that was. All right. Now we're going to the Cleveland Giants. We're going Cleveland minus 0.5. If you have to do minus one, we're adding the Cleveland Brownies in there.
Oh, my God. Cleveland Browns, we're taking them.
Absolutely, we're taking them, Dan. They're playing the Giants.
Yeah, fair.
Okay, we got one more. What are we at so far?
+598.
All right. And with our last pick, we're going to Indianapolis. And there's a man that I can count on. His name's Anthony Richardson. I can count on him being bad. Bears +7. That's right, Caleb. Don't let me down.
There we go.
A nice, respectable +790. I could go the rest of the slate, but I won't. That's our 1 o'clock teaser. I guess it'll be a parlay. I can do one for four. I really like Miami and the over in that Miami Seattle game to tease, to bring it to like Miami +10.5 and then the over 35.5. But Honestly, I'll leave it by the time slots here.
Okay. I'm clearing this.
Clear, Dan.
Let's talk all about...
All right, we're 4 p.m.s. All right, let's do one.
Do you want to do the 4 p.m.s?
Yeah, we can do a 4 p.m. I'm seeing the board. This is the best I've seen the board all year, I think. Not famous last words. These guys are 20-20 this week. We're going to Miami. Dolphins plus 10.5 over. We might have to switch it up. We might have to do same game parlay.
Okay. What are we doing?
We're going the over. What is it now? 36. Over 36. And then Dolphins plus 10.5. It's a double dip in. We're double dipping.
Dolphins plus 10.5. And we are doing over 36, you said, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, then we're going to Las Vegas. We're taking the Raiders minus 1.
Raiders minus 1.
No team can lose to the Panthers. Not at home. Just can't happen.
Yeah. Ooh. Famous last words.
Not these okay. words. Now we're going to the Cowboys. Cowboys plus 7.
Cowboys plus 7. Nope, that's another of those. We gotta go the other way.
Bring it around town.
Boys plus 7.
And then we're going to LA. We're going to the Rams game, and we're taking the Niners minus 1.
You love the minus ones today.
But yeah, because the teasers, you just move it six points.
Oh, true.
And I can't do half a point, so I'm going with minus ones. And then we're finishing it off with Detroit and Arizona. I'm going to go Arizona plus 9.
Arizona. No, that's minus. Excuse me. True. Arizona plus 9.
Much more respectable, plus 543.
That's pretty good.
Absolutely. Okay. And if you follow those and put your hard-earned money, you're going to win this week because there's no way it can lose 3 weeks in a row.
If we could get right every week, we would. That'd be money in the bank if we could get right every week.
This is easy. This is simple. And then we're putting our whole life savings. Remember, whole life savings, Bengals minus 10. We're going to need receipts from everybody or you're banned from the show.
That's not too bad. Let's see. Our whole life. Oh, I don't even get what the payout. The payout would be if you bet. Yeah, so it's 22. So you can still get on. Let's say you put 50 grand on this game. You're making. Getting up to 113. That'd be nice.
That's right. You're getting 53 grand in profit, Dan. It's all the people need nowadays.
Do you want a touch of any of the other games? You good?
I won't tease them, but I'm going Falcons money line. I've already told the people. We're going Falcons money line, Jaguars. I don't know. Yeah, Jaguars. I might just take Jaguars with the points. Plus 5 is good enough for points. Falcons money line, Jaguars with the points, plus 5, and then Cincinnati minus 10. I guess if you want to parlay those three, and then Bengals minus 10, probably a decent parlay there for the prime times, for your prime timers.
Yeah, plus 918, that's
actually
the best.
Oh, that is a good parlay. That's a good parlay, everybody. That might be, that's right up there with the 1 o'clock teaser. And with that, we wrap up the week 3 previews.
Yes, that is all of our week 3 previews. And just so everyone knows, those game lines and parlays will be on Hippo's Twitter, Hippo_ball. I'll be making sure that they're out there. So you can see them, tag along. You'll have to take notes. It's fine. You just check us out on Twitter and we'll find it. You'll find it there. And that does it for us here at the for week 3. At Objectively Good Takes. I'm Dan at FF Rich Kid. This is Hippo at Hippo_ball, both on Twitter or X or however you want to call it. And we're looking forward to week 3 and we'll catch you for the recap afterwards.
Good luck. Peace out.